Amen. Amen. I want to frame a couple of things before we get started. What we're going to attempt to do today is put a cap on the pathway to revival through the introductions of Christ to the church. And we're doing that because I'm in a hurry to get to chapter 4 of Revelation and start going through the book because I think it's pivotal. So I want to frame it a little bit different this morning. I want to talk to you for a second just to build a little foundation about how we discover our need and what that means. And I need to ask a question first. How many of you know that physical language or language that we hear is different than spiritual language? It's a completely different thing. So there are physical illustrations from the physical world you can use to bring about a spiritual point, but it always falls a little short if you don't understand spiritual language. That's why Paul the Apostle in the last part of the book of Acts said, you won't hear me, so I'm going to go to a people that will hear me. It wasn't that they wasn't trying to understand, or it wasn't that they wasn't trying to get what he was saying, but they just absolutely could not understand it. Why? Because they were listening to physical language and not spiritual language. I'll illustrate it this way. One of the big physical illustrations in the Word of God is about food, what we eat. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled, right? And so there is that analogy to hunger. Jesus said this of himself, I am the bread of life. All the way through the scripture, there's these analogies to food. And there's a reason why, because it's significant and important in everybody's life. Okay, but there is a difference in the understanding of the physical world in terms of that and the spiritual world in the discovery of our need. For example, if I say to you, what is it that you need? And you say this, I need something to eat. Okay, now, that's not your need. That's your provision. The need is you're hungry. If you misidentify the need, you will misappropriate the provision. Did you hear what I just said? That's a spiritual truth in the Word of God. That's the difference between physical language and spiritual language. If I say to you, what do you need? And you say, I need something to eat. You are implying in the physical world that you're hungry. And we assume that's true, and it is true, and we can acknowledge that. However, in the spiritual world, it's not that way. That's not how it works. In spirit language, to identify the need, you have to be really specific about the need. In other words, if I say to you spiritually, what is your need? And you say, I'm hungry. Then the provision is released to meet the need so that you will never hunger again. Did you hear that? Give me water to drink, the woman said at the well. Jesus said, if you drink of the water I'll give you, you'll never thirst again. So it becomes important how you discover the need. All right? That's why I spend a whole lot of time telling you of needs that we have in the world. And that's why the book of Revelation's always captivated me. Everybody say, I'm listening. I can't hear, so you're going to have to interact at a higher level, okay? So just bear with me for a minute. Here's why I'm captivated by the book of Revelation. Listen closely. There's all kinds of divisions in the book of Revelation to interpret it by. You can go by all of the sevens, for example. You have seven churches, seven sealed book, seven trumpet judgments, seven bowl judgments, the seven new things. All of that is a division of interpreting and understanding the book of Revelation. The biggest division in understanding the book of Revelation is very simplistic. It's this way. Chapters 1 through 3 is the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. Chapters 4 and beyond is the revelation of Jesus Christ to the world. Those are two specifically unique divisions and revelations of Christ. Now let me get back to food for just a minute. How many of you know that if you change your diet, you're going to change the way you look? How many of you noticed Joe Barrett looks different this morning? Apparently, he changed the way he ate and he got up and put a coat on. I don't know what that's about. I just wanted to point that out. Your diet will change the way you look. Did you know your diet will change the way you feel? Your diet will even change the way you behave. Now, how's that connected to the Word of God? Listen to this. If you read in the book of Genesis, people lived to be 300 to 900 years old in the first part of the book of Genesis. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. God shortened man's days. Do you know what he also did? Every time he shortened man's days, he changed man's diet. You hear that? So what you feed on changes you.
Yes.
Changes everything about you.
Absolutely.
Now, when you get into the spirit world, it's the same truth. What you feed on spiritually changes the dynamic of your spiritual personality. For example, how many of you love this truth? Let me just illustrate it this way real quickly. How many of you love this verse of Scripture? And I know that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. Amen. Is that a good verse? You know what that's like? Chocolate ice cream. Or in Haley's case, something else. The apple stuff. It's dessert, in other words. Here's another one. We've been made more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. Is that a good verse?
Yeah.
I love that. That's dessert. How many of you like this verse? And we should be warned to flee from the wrath that is to come.
Yeah.
A little bit of a different verse. But if you're constantly feeding on being more than a conqueror and not fleeing from the wrath that is to come, you'll be spiritually unhealthy. You will spiritually stunt your growth. People pick and choose truths that they want to hear. Now, what does that do? It shapes the way we discover our need. Are you with me so far? So I'm going to put some verses up. We're not going to talk about these verses, but I do want you to hear them. It's from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. And I want you to listen closely to this passage, and then I'm going to show you a couple of other verses, but listen to this. And I didn't plan it this way, but I went to this passage and I said, Lord, please don't make me put that up there. But it starts, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Okay, this is talking about the person of Christ. It's talking about the truth of Christ. These things are hard to be uttered. That's why they're hard to hear. That's why they're in this day. There is a rejection of truth. And I'm going to give you a little bit of understanding about that, hopefully, in just a minute. But listen to this. Of whom we have many things to say and are hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Okay, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are y'all following this? So here's what this passage is saying. You ought to be grown up enough to be teachers. You have arrived at the time when you should be discipling other people. But you can't disciple other people. And the reason you can't is because you're unskillful and a babe yourself. Now, why are we that way? I'll tell you why. It's because we have feasted on I'm more than a conqueror. God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose. We have feasted and dieted on that instead of on the full counsel of the Word of God, encompassing the totality of the Logos of God into our spiritual DNA so that we can grow strong. Everybody say amen to the truth. In other words, we want what's that apple stuff called? Apple dumplings? It's the best stuff in the world. It's what is it? Cinnamon roll apples. If you've never had it, you need to get Mackenzie to, matter of fact, Mackenzie, make a pot for everyone here. It's so good. But if you constantly feed on that, then you'll grow weak. You need broccoli. You need a steak. Praise God for steak. Amen. The strong meat are for those that can endure that. Now, let me show you this passage. Hebrews 6:1. Before we read that passage, Hebrews 6:1 connects to the previous passage I just read to you. That's important to understand. Hebrews 5:11 through 14 connects to this verse of Scripture. As a matter of fact, that chapter break is a little bit unfortunate, because in this chapter break, it goes on to say this: therefore, or because of what I just read to you, everybody say again, I'm listening. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Did y'all hear that? Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Uh-oh. What? What does that even mean? I mean, to some people's ears, that would sound sacrilegious to say that. To leave the principles. If you go back to that previous passage we read to you to talk about the first principles of the oracles of God, here it says to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. In other words, here's what this verse of Scripture is saying. If you got saved, you're saved. Move on. Don't keep coming to church to get saved over and over again. It's time to get up from hanging around at the foot of the cross and go do the work that Christ has mandated us to do. We have to move. We have to keep going on. Now listen to this verse of Scripture here. You know it well, Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend or fight for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So here's basically what that verse of Scripture is teaching us. It teaches us that we really want to hang around the common salvation, and we really want to be evangelistic, and we want to lead people to Christ. But there is a season where you have to instruct the saints about how to fight for the faith that our pastor's been preaching about for a couple of weeks. Are y'all following me so far? Everybody say, I'm listening. This is important stuff, okay? Romans 1:24. I'm throwing this up there because you need to understand the results of not changing your spiritual diet, okay? You need to understand this because it's a myth. And I'm back to physical language versus spiritual language. Hear the spiritual language here in Romans 1:24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Now, I'm not going to talk about the lusts of their own hearts. It goes on to say to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. It's an immoral sexual consequence here. But here's the thought that I want you to get from this verse. God gave them up to their own uncleanness. And I've said this before, but it bears repeating, and you need to understand it. There comes a time when God gives up on you. There comes a time after God is called, and God is called, and no one knows when that time is in your own individual lives. But to say that God's never going to give up on you, that's a lie. Here is a verse of Scripture from the Word of God that says there comes a time when God gives you up to your own self. Same chapter, Romans 1:26. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections. The key thought again, God gives up on you. Are you with me so far? Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Boy, here's where you really get into some deep stuff here, if you'll bear with me for just a minute. There comes a time when God gives you up to your own thoughts. That's a horrible place to be. So what am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. even after you're saved. And I'm doing teaching to people that I'm making the assumption you know Christ. Okay? And that's going to be the key theme of what we talk about here in a minute. You know Christ. I'm trusting you've been born again. I'm hoping you have a solid foundation to understand what your belief, what that really means to you. And also, are you truly born again? Yeah, I need you to take inventory. We all need to take inventory and check up all the time. Here's the thing that I am saying. I'm talking to people that I'm making the assumption you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Here's what I'm saying to you, that after you're saved, the same dynamic stays with us, that if we refuse to grow, God will leave you where you are. He will let you live where you choose to dwell. If you don't believe that, ask the prodigal. Ask the prodigal. The father had to let him go. Was he still the father's son? Yes. What did the son do? He went and throwed away everything the father had given him. And he ended up in a hog pen. Okay? And what does that mean spiritually? It means that spiritually speaking, our growth, our development has been altered. Now I want to get to this. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. I'm putting all of these up, and I want you to watch it. And we're going to talk about it very briefly, because this is important that you understand this. It's pivotal to the text verse that we haven't got to yet, okay? But this will put a cap on our teaching. It's going to summarize it. If we was to go into detail, we would be here. I told you before, it takes 6-8 months just to get through this. Then you start. And so it's, we're time sensitive. I'm trying to download this to you all at one time. So listen to this closely. This is how Jesus reveals himself to the church. To the church of Ephesus, he describes himself as the authority of power and presence. Now you can read this for yourself. Okay? It's all in Revelation 2 and 3. This is how Jesus revealed himself to the church of Ephesus. And if, I'm going to say this over and over again, if you want a pathway to spiritual growth and development, which we're going to, I'm going to put that on up in just a minute. If you really want that pathway, you have to get to know Christ in the authority of his power and his presence. If you don't, you're going to remain where you are. We'll talk about the dangers of that in a moment. But you will remain where you are unless you get this revelation. To the church of Smyrna, Jesus reveals himself as the timeless one with the power of resurrection. Now, I want to pause here just for a minute. The pastor called me, I think earlier this week, my days get confused. Earlier this week, and we're going to do, me and him together, these little short videos, 5 minutes apiece, going through the foundational doctrines. And I'm excited about that. I've been praying about that. I believe it's the Lord. And we're going to offer that so that you know what foundation there is in the Word of God that you can build off of, okay? The first principles of Christ. We can't leave the first principles of Christ if we don't know the first principles of Christ. So we've got to have that, and we're going to do that for you. And part of that is understanding the power of resurrection. Amen. Jesus is the timeless one with the power of resurrection. So far, here's what we're asking for. Lord, reveal to us as a body of believers the authority of power and presence. Lord, reveal to us as a body of believers that you are the timeless one. Show us that. Oh, we need understanding on time. And show us, Lord, the power of resurrection. To the church of Pergamos, he reveals himself as the power of his word. The specific nature of church history from its beginning at Pentecost all the way through Constantine and those years and the Council of Nicaea, all the way up through what is really spurning the Russian-Ukraine war right now over the split If you could bear this, it's over the split between Western and Eastern empires of religion. That's what that war is all about, even right now, okay? But through the power of his word, the church of Pergamos received that revelation of Christ. You get to the church of Thyatira. He is the all-seeing and knowing one with judgment. Everybody say judgment. You cannot escape that.
Right.
And purifying power. Judgment comes that we may be purified. Everybody say amen. I'll get off track. Sardis, he shows himself as the fullness of the Spirit. The teaching of the fullness of the Spirit in the life of the believer is vital to your growth, to your development. And the reason so many are stunted in their growth and their development is because they have not received the revelation of Jesus Christ in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. How many of you understand the Holy Spirit did not come to testify of himself?
Right.
Who did he come to bring testimony of? Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Spirit is engaging in who the person of Jesus Christ is. This is to the church of Sardis. To the church of Philadelphia, and we've talked about that a lot, and the reason we have is because we're living in that Philadelphian church now. You are the Philadelphian church. And the way Jesus introduced himself to that church is that he is the one that is holy and true. The release of the authority of the kingdom is all encompassed in the key of David. It embodies worship. It embodies warfare. David was a soldier, a warrior. He was also the worshiper that wrote the songbook of the Bible. Can I tell you, he also wrote it, most of it, while he was hiding out in caves and dens from people trying to kill him. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
To the church of Laodicea, Jesus reveals himself as the witness of who he is. Now, there's a reason why that's there the way it is. It's because as you have already heard, and I hope you filed it away somewhere in your spiritual DNA, the church of Laodicea will go through the tribulation period. This is the witness of who Jesus is. Okay, now listen to this. The church of Jesus Christ will not go through the tribulation period, but the church of Laodicea will. Why? Because they're different. The church of Laodicea represents the institution, or Christendom, if you will. But the rest of the church is the believing remnant, the body of Christ. Okay, so that's what's going on there. And so Jesus gives himself to the church. He reveals himself to the church of Laodicea as in witness of who he is and the originator of all things. Now, I want you to look at that list because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. This is how we need to get to know him. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What is our need? If we don't discover the need, we won't discover the provision. Right?
Right.
If we don't know the need, we won't appropriate the right provision. If we misidentify the need, you can say, I'm hungry. I need food. No, food's the provision. Hunger is the need.
Yep.
What do we need? Oh, I need mercy. Oh, see, watch this. Mercy is the provision. The sin problem's the need. We're speaking the wrong language. And that's what affects cultures around the world. It's because we're speaking the wrong language. If you don't believe that's important, go back to the book of Genesis and find this out, figure this out. Under Nimrod, when they was building the Tower of Babel, which we know becomes Babylon later, and then that Babylon is in the book of Revelation as the city of Satan, ruled by Antichrist. Go back to the Tower of Babel to discover the importance and significance of language. The whole world had globalized into one government. And they were building the Tower of Babel, and God said, I'm going to put a stop to this. How did he do it? He confounded their language. That's why we got to have spiritual language and spiritual understanding of spiritual language in order to move forward. We have to identify the right need. We keep identifying the provision, and God's wanting us to see the need. Why is there the revelation of Jesus Christ? You've heard me say this 1,000 times. If you go to the very first verse, the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, you've heard me say this. Please grab this. You can never get a revelation of Jesus Christ without first getting a revelation of you. You know what brought you to salvation? If you're saved, you got a revelation, you're lost. Lost come before saved. If you don't know you're lost, you can't be saved. Hello? Listen to this. This is going to come out a little different, maybe. I don't know. And then I'll hurry on. I was born in 63. John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 63, wasn't he? Or was it 69? I can't remember. Here's what I know. It was 63, yeah. As a matter of fact, I think it was just a few months after I was born. I was born in July. He was assassinated in November. I think that's right. So I lived in an era where John F. Kennedy was always dead. But those that was born, like my dad, in the 30s, it was a major traumatic happening in his life. We have those same happenings now. I'm thinking of 9/11. You know, we got a generation of people that you can talk about 9/11. Well, it's always been 9/11 for them. They wasn't born when 9/11 happened. So they live in a post 9/11 world. They're acclimated and accustomed to it. But I remember the shock and the horror of seeing the planes fly into the buildings. Living through that traumatic experience. Are y'all following me so far? Perspective changes. I've often said this. It depends on which part of the United States you're standing on as to just how ignorant you are. You could take somebody out of the middle of New York City and put them over here in Collinsville. They're not going to understand the thing Roger and Debbie Coffey says. That's exactly right. It depends on where you are in culture, in time, as to what your understanding can be about. That's why knowing Him as the timeless one is so significantly important. This is the roadmap that leads you to spiritual growth and development. Here's what I want you to see here. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible. As a matter of fact, this verse will change your life. This verse right here will be a daily motivator. I still have not grabbed a hold of everything that is in this one verse. Paul the Apostle. Some argue how many books he wrote in the New Testament. Some say 13, some say 14, as to whether or not you attribute the book of Hebrews to Paul's authorship or not. Doesn't matter to me, but here's what I will tell you. Paul was probably the most significant transforming apostles that followed Christ and that actually saw Christ. He teaches us New Testament doctrine more so than any other apostle. He had an encounter with Jesus when he got saved. He had papers with him that he was going to persecute Christians with, and he was on the road to Damascus, and all of a sudden Jesus stopped him, and Paul saw him. And it physically blinded his eyes for 3 days. Paul hid out in a house blind, and he processed the encounter he had. For 3 days. And for 3 days, I believe this, the Spirit of God downloaded to Paul deep within his spirit the revelation of the mystery. If you've never heard that term, the revelation of the mystery, the revelation of the mystery is in Ephesians 3, and it totally embodies all of Paul's teachings. The revelation of the mystery is that you, the church, was a secret in the heart of God that Satan didn't know anything about. I don't know if you can fathom that or not. If you want some good stuff, we'll get back to the conqueror. That's the best conquering thing I know of, and the supply of the Lord. Listen to this. You were hid deep within the heart of God before the New Testament, and Satan didn't know nothing about you. You were the secret. I was the secret. For such a time as this, we've been chosen to live here, and that's the secret of God. Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and the Spirit of God flooded into him all of the information he writes in the New Testament. Then all of a sudden, Paul's writing this letter to the church of Philippi, and here's what he says, "Oh, that I may know him." You know what he's saying? I don't know him well enough. And he even cites something, how Jesus revealed himself to the church in the next line. He said, "I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. I even want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings." I'm back to spiritual language. Do you remember last week? Are we living to die or dying to live? You remember that? See, in the physical world, we're born and then we die. Spiritually, we're dead and then we live. Paul says, "I want to know him first in the power of his resurrection. That's the only way I can endure the fellowship of his sufferings. And this will make me conformable even unto his death." If you go back to the previous slide and all of those introductions, I challenge you. Read Revelation 2 and 3. Read every introduction that Jesus makes of himself to the church. Get your first response of what those words mean, and then take it in prayer and soak it in the Spirit and get deeper insight into those introductory statements that Jesus says, "These things saith the Amen, the first and the last. These things saith the one that is holy and true." Don't just read them. Get your first inclination. Write it down. This is what Jesus says. This is how he wants me to know him. And then take it in prayer and let the Holy Spirit bring up to you how Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. Y'all didn't hear that. I want you to so bad. That's the passion that drives me. Listen to this. Knowing him will bring spiritual sustainability through the crisis of life.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something here, folks. I know nobody wants to talk about it. I understand it. I get it. I know. I don't want to talk about it either. I don't. I despise talking about it. World's on fire.
Yeah.
The world's on fire. Jesus prayed for us in John 17. If you want to, how many of you like praying?
Sure.
Read John 17. You'll hear Jesus praying for you.
Yes.
And you'll hear what he said. You know one thing he said? He said, "Father, I pray that you don't take them out of the world, but just keep them from the evil one."
Yeah. Amen.
I'm telling you, the crisis of life is on us, and we need to learn how to sustain our spirituality through the crisis of life. And the only way to do it is to know him.
Right.
You got to know him better.
Exactly.
You got to know him deeper. Knowing him will bring growth and development to your spiritual life. It's the only way you can grow.
Right.
You got to get to know him more. Did you hear what I said? You got to know him more. You got to know him deeper. You got to know him so well. was having a conversation with Ken and Lisa, and there was something said in the conversation that we had the other day. They was at the house. We were talking about some spiritual matters, and as we were talking about it, this thing come up. How many of you have ever heard this? You're talking to somebody, and all of a sudden they'll say, "Yeah, well, I'll pray about it. I'll pray about that." There's a lot of things we ought to pray about. How many believe that? Did you know there's a lot of things you don't have to pray about?
Right.
Yeah, there's a ton of stuff you don't even have to pray about. You know, and watch this. Listen to this. I'm telling you the truth. The more you get to know Him, the less things you'll have to pray about. Because you'll know Him so well, you know what His will is. You don't have to pray. Watch it. Should I forgive Ed if he offends me? I don't have to pray about that. I know the will of God concerning that. Say amen. Watch it. Listen. Well, you know, I'll pray about giving. You don't have to pray about giving. That's not something you pray about. I'll pray about worshiping. You don't have to pray about. I'll pray about coming to. You don't have to pray about some things. If you know Jesus, it shortens your prayer list.
Right.
And you'll have time to pray about what we really need to be praying about. Do you know what that's called? It's called growth and development in your spiritual life. Knowing Him will cause the things of this earth to lose value. Get to know Him a little bit. You won't care what kind of car you drive. That's why I know Mackenzie has to know the Lord, I mean, at great lengths. You know what? Listen, can I tell you? You will not value the things. The old song, turn your eyes on Jesus.
Yeah.
Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim. The more you know Him, the less you'll care about the things of this earth. Knowing Him will bring value to eternal things. Y'all hear that? So, I've give you some positive truth. The reason I did, and I'm going to finish this way. I was born in 63. Joe Barrett, you was born in 58. So for six decades, out of that 6 decades, about 40 years of that, the body of Christ was in a different season than we are now.
Right. Yep, sure.
See? We lived in a post or a pre-9/11. And you can about pinpoint it to 9/11. If you think about it. We lived in a pre-9/11 era where what God was pouring out on the church was the revelation of Himself in a particular way. You know what that way was? And He'll supply all of our need according to His riches and glory. He was pouring out, you're more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. He was pouring all of these things out. He was pouring it out. He was pouring it out. And He was pouring it out. You know what He's pouring out now? Warn them to flee from the wrath that is to come. I wish it wasn't that way. But that's the way it is. See, watch. And here's the neat thing that I'm learning. The response is no different. The joy of the Lord's the same. The peace that passes all understanding is already there. It's wrapped up in the crisis. See, but watch, listen. Now we're in a different time. We have to learn how to endure. We have to learn how to run the race with patience. We have to learn how to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There is a whole wealth of scripture that is now being poured out that we've never heard before or never lived really before because we were in decades of a different blessing. I'm just trying to wake somebody up to the reality of where we are so you can get back to joy. Because on the joy barometer, we're not measuring what we used to. On the peace barometer, we're not measuring what we used to. And I'm old enough to see it. Some ain't. I've already run out of time. I told Haley I wasn't going to spend but 30 minutes. I just want to give you this one last little tidbit and I'm done, okay? When Solomon's temple was being rebuilt, if you read it in the Old Testament, here's what happened. The young people rebuilt the temple and the Bible said they were shouting and hollering and they were saying, look at the splendor and the glory of this new temple we've constructed. But the old people were standing back weeping and crying. This is in the Bible. You know why they were weeping and crying? Because they said this, we saw the temple in its first glory. And the splendor of what you're beholding is nothing in comparison to what it was. I say to you, we're in a different season, a different time. Your pathway is in getting to know him deeper. I hope that challenge you've heard. Father, we love you. We love your word, and we thank you for what you're doing, what you will do, what you're going to do. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen.